for tape, CDs, DVDs to our publication Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom. Write P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.
Thursday evening, May the 21st, 1987. First service of the Memorial Weekend Teaching and Deliverance Camp Meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Campgrounds, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. Norman Parrish of Guatemala, Bob Trench of South Africa, and Tommy Cook of Tulsa, Oklahoma will each minister on this tape this evening. If I'm going to have these different ministers come and minister for a while this evening, we're going to have three ministries tonight. That doesn't happen very often, but tonight we are. And I'm going to start with Brother Parrish. I'm going to ask him to come and minister for a while. I saw him writing in his Bible there a while ago, marking something, so I know that he's got it laid down there for this evening. And Brother Norman Parrish from Guatemala, and we count a privilege to support him and his ministry. And I've been promising to go with him to Colombia for about 5 or 6 years. And I haven't gotten there yet, but I'm still promising to go. I want to go with him when he goes to Colombia to the services that he has down there with all the ministers in that area. And but anyway, we count a privilege and a blessing for Brother Parrish to come and minister to us the word of the Lord. He's too quiet sometimes about some of the things that the Lord shows him and that the Lord has revealed to him. He's too quiet. But anyway, we appreciate what he does tell us. But Brother Norman Parrish, come up here and open up that Bible and tell us.
This has taken me by surprise. I didn't have the faintest idea that I'd be standing before you tonight. I thought the service was all lined up. I thought the service that they had the speakers or the speaker of the evening already chosen. So it really catches me off guard. But I'm sure glad, sure delighted to be back here in Lake Hamilton. It's been such a joy to see many of the smiling faces of our friends, friends that we have learned to love down through the years. It's good to be back with Brother Glenn and Sister Irma and all the brethren that live and minister here in this camp. I think we're going to have a good camp this weekend. I try to come to Lake Hamilton once a year, and more to be ministered to than to minister. And I've been out on the firing line all through the year since the last camp meeting, ministering many times, 2, 3, 4 times a day, just giving out and giving out and giving out. And sooner or later, you begin to feel a need to be ministered to. And there's no better place on earth to come for ministry than to Lake Hamilton Bible Camp. And I'm excited because I'm going to hear Brother Bob Trench and Brother Tommy Cook, Brother Jack Harris, and some of these other men of God. I think we're going to learn much about the kingdom. We're going to learn much about the end times. We're going to learn much about the way that God is dealing with his people today. And so let's have a receptive ear and a receptive heart. Let's come with an unprejudiced mind. You know, the greatest problem we Christians have is that we have our preconceived notions. We have a down pat how God's going to do things. You know, and when God chooses to do something different, then we say, that's not God, that's the devil. You know, we reject truth. And it's so easy, you know, to get it situated in a spiritual rut where we can't move, where we can't advance, because we refuse to open our ears and our hearts to new truth. I believe all truth that is coming forth should be approved by the Bible. I mean, it should tally with Scripture. I don't believe in extra biblical revelation like some people are speaking about today. You know, there's a lot of truth that hasn't got an iota of truth to it. I mean, it's not based upon the Word of God. And that kind of teaching is dangerous. You can get off into fantasy land. I was in one of the cities of America on this trip about 2, 3 weeks ago, and a man that was entertaining me, that had invited me to to preach and to minister at his church, told me that he wanted me to go and meet a certain preacher in his hometown that had been involved in the deliverance ministry, that had a lot of insight into deliverance. And we went over there. I sat down with the brother, and he began to reveal a lot of things. And I asked him, "Where did he get all that information?" He said, "Well, from a spirit called," and I'm not even going to give the name. And all this had been taped, all this had been recorded, all this had been written down, transcribed, and put into booklet form. And he was spreading this information like it was the truth. The information was about where demons came from and about their categories and their ranks. And it was a lot of information that is not found at all in the scriptures. And I just throw it away. I just don't fool around with that type of information. Because you can be easily deceived and you can be easily led astray by that kind of information. We need to keep our thoughts on the scripture. The scripture must corroborate everything that we believe. It should be at least in seed form in scripture, so that we can be sure that we are following what the Word of God has for us. Now, tonight, I'm just going to share a little bit from Matthew chapter 17. I asked the Lord when Brother Glenn was announcing that I was going to speak for a while what I should share, and the Lord directed my thoughts immediately to Matthew chapter 17. And we're going to read from verse 14 on. My old Bible's about giving up the ghost. It's all going to pieces on me. So I'm going to have to try to read what the scripture says here. Let's read from verse 14. "And when they were come to the multitude, there came to him a certain man kneeling down to him and saying, 'Lord, have mercy on my son, for he is a lunatic and sore vexed, for oft times he falleth into the fire and oft into the water. And I brought him to thy disciples, and they could not cure him.' Then Jesus answered and said, 'O faithless and perverse generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? Bring him hither to me.' And Jesus rebuked the devil, and he departed out of him, and the child was cured from that very hour." Now here we see a very sad picture of a group of men that had been entrusted with Bible truth, that had been equipped, that had been authorized to cast out evil spirits. We find them here failing miserably. They weren't able to deliver this little boy that was sore vexed of evil spirits. This boy was a lunatic. This boy was an epileptic. This boy had, for a long time, had evil spirits within his body that were trying to destroy him at an early age. Many times they threw him into the water. Many times they threw him into the fire. But the ultimate purpose was to kill him at an early age. You know, the devil, the Bible says in John 10:10, came only to steal, to kill, and to destroy. And that's his ultimate purpose with every human being living on the face of the earth today. His purpose is to kill us. And he'll use anything he can put his hands on. He'll use an accident. He'll use an illness. He'll use any kind of tragedy to wipe us off face of the earth. Now this boy according to my understanding of scripture, this boy was an only son. The father was much distressed when he saw that this little boy, month after month and year after year, went through these convulsions that were undermining his health and leading him to an early death. So he brought him to Jesus, but Jesus was away. Jesus was up in the Mount of Transfiguration. He was there in communion with his Father. And while he was away, it might have been a day or two or three, the Bible doesn't really say how long he was away, this Father arrived on the scene. Now the disciples said to this man, "There's no problem at all. You know, we've got ample experience. We've cast out devils out of many people. We've traveled up and down throughout this country, setting people free from demon oppression and from demon infestation." They said, "We'll handle the case. You won't have to wait for Jesus." You know, so they began to pray for this little boy, and they not only prayed and bound and rebuked, but I'm sure they raised quite a ruckus. You know, when you begin to discover that what you're doing doesn't work, you think that by shouting you're going to scare the devil away. And I've been in many churches where people gather around somebody that is sick or afflicted, and the scandal is something unbearable. You just can't hardly stand the noise, because people think that the greater the noise, the greater the power. But that's not true. You know, these men tried everything they knew to deliver this boy, but it was useless. They failed miserably. You know, they were powerless before this evil spirit that was diseasing and was plaguing this young boy. And brethren, today we must recognize that many times we also can fail in ministry. We've handled some cases in Latin America, people that have been brought to us that we haven't been able to set free. I mean, they've been brought to us in their extremity. They've been brought to us when they are at death's door, and we've done everything. We've fasted, we've prayed, we've done everything that we know of, and we still aren't able to help the people. We've had several people die in our hands, and they've not only died, they've had to be buried, you know. Some of our first cases, we kept them around trying to resurrect them from the dead, you know. We prayed through the night asking God to we rebuked the spirit of death, but to no avail. But these failures taught us very important lessons, brethren. And the lessons that we must learn out of this is, first, that we should not minister unless we are conscious of the presence of Christ in our midst. See, we need to be totally dependent on Jesus Christ. We have to be sure the Holy Spirit is present, moving in us and through us and upon us, so that we can be effective in ministry, especially in deliverance. See, Jesus was absent, and it was a little bit preposterous on the part of these disciples to try to cast devils out without the presence of Jesus Christ. And many times we do that. We rush to do something. We rush in where angels fear to tread. We lay hands on people suddenly without the kind of preparation that we must have in order to be effective in ministry. The second reason why these men failed is because they hadn't developed their spiritual life. Probably while Jesus was away with Peter, James, and John in the Mount of Transfiguration, they spent their time just lying around, joking, playing, you know, carrying on like overgrown boys can carry on. And they just flittered their time away. And what happened? When they were taken by surprise, this man came unannounced. And their faith hadn't been built up. They weren't in the spiritual condition to deal with this case. And that can happen to us too, brethren. That's why when Jesus had cast the devil out of this boy and had cured him, had restored him, they came sheepishly and they asked Jesus, "Why couldn't we?" And Jesus said, "This kind cometh out not but by prayer and fasting." See, they had failed to prepare themselves adequately to handle this case. And I think, brethren, we're going to face emergency situations. We can't wait till somebody that's demonized is brought to us to start praying and start fasting. We have to keep our life, our spiritual life, in a state of preparation. I think we should pray and fast on a regular basis. We should discipline ourselves so that not only in times of ministry, but we seek the Lord through prayer and intercession, but we do it on a regular basis. It becomes a habit so that we can keep our spiritual life built up in our most holy faith. Another reason why they failed, I believe, is because their faith was weak. You know, Jesus said, they asked him why they hadn't been able to cast the spirit out. And Jesus said, because of your unbelief. Now, this is a strange thing to say to men that had been with Jesus now 2 years. And yet, as we read the Gospels, we find that many times in these apostles or these disciples failed in faith. Remember when they were crossing the Sea of Galilee and the storm broke out? And this storm was promoted or provoked by evil spirits. Jesus discerned it. He stood up and rebuked the winds, rebuked the waves. He knew what was behind this storm. Satan was trying to delay their arrival at Gadara, or he was trying to interfere somehow or another with the ministry, and Jesus discerned that. But yet the disciples were thrown into a panic. They were so filled with fear. They felt the boat was going to sink and that they were going to drown in the middle of that sea. And Jesus had to say, O men of little faith, why did you doubt? Why did you fear? And so we must build our faith up. And the Bible says that faith cometh by hearing and hearing of the Word of God. We must be constantly in the Word. And this is something I always encourage our workers, our pastors to do, is to study the Word and memorize the Word. Get the Word down in your spirit. Have a huge reservoir of Scripture truth in your spirit so that your faith will be strong and you'll be able to face and overcome the enemy where and whenever and wherever he comes against you. See, there were reasons why these men couldn't cast out these spirits. They had authority. Jesus had given them authority. They had experience. They had everything you would presuppose was necessary in order to set this young man free. But they failed. They failed because they were not, they had not kept their spiritual life built up. They hadn't renewed their faith, and they hadn't renewed their vision. And this is the danger that we all face, especially if we've been successful in deliverance. We kind of become a little careless and a little complacent. We let down our guard. And before long, God's going to permit a case to come that we won't be able to handle and we won't be able to resolve. This has happened to us several times, and it should be a warning to all that, brethren, unless our experience is up to date and where the authority of God is flowing through our life and the anointing of God is upon us and the presence of Jesus Christ every moment of the day, unless our faith is strong, unless our knowledge of the Word is factual, when the trial comes, when the moment of testing comes, we are going to fail also. And I think failures sometimes are good. All things work together for good because they humble us. They break us, and they make us realize that we of ourselves can do nothing, that we need to depend 100% on Jesus Christ and on the Holy Spirit in order to succeed in any ministry, but especially in the deliverance ministry. So, brother, let's take notice of this. May this be an example to us, and may this be a warning to us. If these men failed in deliverance, even though they had walked with Jesus for over 2 years, they had been his constant companions, they had seen Jesus at work. They had worked side by side with Jesus, delivering the oppressed and healing the sick and raising the dead. And if they failed, can fail also. We're all susceptible to failure. But we can avoid failure if we keep our spiritual life built up all the time. Through prayer, through fasting, through the study of the Word, through communion with Jesus Christ, ensuring His presence upon our life, and ensuring the anointing of the Spirit upon our spirit, ensuring that God's authority is flowing through us. Through faith, we activate God's authority. And when we speak, then it is as if God Himself was speaking. Every word we say will be confirmed by the Holy Spirit, and we will see great works accomplished. And we won't have to go through those painful experiences of being mocked, being ridiculed by the devil, of failing, of falling to the ground in shame because we have not fulfilled our duty in serving the Lord wholeheartedly. And I trust and pray that as a result of this camp, when we go home, when we go back to our churches, to our groups, that we will go back determined to keep our spiritual life built up. There's no substitutes for that. By coming to a camp meeting once or twice a year, that's not enough. We have to practice the presence of God in our homes. We must constantly be on our face before God. We must constantly pray. We must constantly fast. We must constantly study and memorize the Word so that when the enemy comes against us, either directly or indirectly through a person, like in this case, that we'll be able to overcome him and put him to rout and make him flee and make him recognize the defeat that Jesus dealt him there on the cross of Calvary. So let's take these things to heart tonight. And let's go on from here. Let's go on to experience not defeat but victory, not shame but glory, that through the presence and the power of Jesus Christ we can overcome Satan wherever he rears his ugly head. May God bless you.
Our authority lies in the name of Jesus, and it is written. That was Jesus' authority, and that's our authority. It is written. Unless we hide his word in our heart, then we are not able to say and stand forth the authority of the word that it is written. And he's speaking about fasting. Some people, we here at the campground fast on Thursday. Now, that is my order, that we fast on Thursday. You say, well, that's your order. I don't have to do that. Okay, you don't have to. But you're disobeying the orders of the person in authority of the campground when you don't do it. Those who are here at the campground. And you say, well, I can't. I get hungry. Well, that's only the devil telling you that. You can fast. And if you can't, then you need to make yourself do it so you can fast. You need to fast. I need to fast. Very plain what Brother Parrish brought out. That it's only by fasting and prayer can these things be done. And Thursday we fast here for the needs of the people that we pray for. And you can fast. And if you can't, then you need to make yourself do it. And the devil comes along and says, I've got to have something to eat. No, you don't have to have something to eat. When you're fasting for the Lord will take care of your body, but Satan will tell you that you can't. But you can, because the Lord will take care of it. And you need to determine that you'll fast at home, wherever you are. You need to take a day and fast, or maybe a couple of days, or maybe 3 days in a month, or all at one time or something, or even however the Lord lays on your heart to do it. But you need to fast and pray, because that is part of the word of the Lord on your behalf and my behalf, that we fast and pray. And then that we study the word and hide it in our heart, that we'll not sin against the Lord. So it's something that you have to make yourself do, and then do it because you make yourself do it. Satan will come along and say, you're so hungry. You've got to, if you go on a fast, you can fast for a couple of days or even 3 days with no problem, without anything, liquid or nothing. Now, the king back in Jonah's day, the king called a fast for all the people, including the animals, for 3 days. Now, either there was a bunch of bawling, squalling kids and a bunch of bawling, squalling animals at the end of 3 days, or else the Spirit of the Lord moved in and honored their fast. And I think God moved in and honored their fast, and I don't think those animals and the kids was carrying on at the end of 3 days. I think that God honored it. I know he honored it because he saved the city and made Jonah so mad that he couldn't see straight. That's what he did. Jonah got so mad that because God heard the cry of the people and honored their prayers, that Jonah got mad about it. Instead of rejoicing that God answered their prayers and saved them, well, he was mad. Well, that's the way we are sometimes. God does something, and instead of rejoicing that the Lord done it, or is doing it, or he's done something, why, we say, well, look, that should not be. Well, I forgot to pray over the offering, didn't I? They brought it back up to me, and then I put Brother Norman on here without praying over it. That was before I prayed over the offering. So I think we'll pray over it now. And I can't pray good with you sitting down. Praise the Lord. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Lord. Now, this morning at prayer meeting, we prayed for our nation, but it doesn't hurt to do it a couple of times a day, especially like this. So this evening I'm going to include prayer for our nation in prayer for and thanking the Lord for this offering. Father, we come this evening, I come, the authority of the name of the Lord Jesus. There is no other name under heaven given whereby men may call upon except that name. Jesus is his name. And I thank you, Father, for Jesus. And I thank you for the blood that washes and cleanses us. I praise you for it. Now, Father, I come with this offering that's been put in my hands by these thy people. And I bring it as a sweet savor unto Jesus, our high priest, to be presented upon the altar before the throne and accepted from these your people. And I thank you for accepting it, Father. And I thank you for it. And then as I take it back and I become the steward over it, I take authority over these finances and I bind them to the kingdom of the living God, that they shall be used for nothing except the furtherance of the gospel and the necessities of life to whatever hands they go, as long as this type of finance is used. Father, I thank you for that privilege and I bind it to the cause of the kingdom. Father, I thank you for meeting the needs of the campground. Thank you for multiplying it here for the campground, for meeting our needs and the needs of those who come to minister here with us, to minister to your people. Father, I thank you for these finances, and I bless those who've contributed to them. I bless them, Lord. I bless them in their families. I bless them in their finances. I bless them in their homes. I thank you, Lord, for laying upon them the burden of the gospel of the Lord Jesus, not only here but in other places. Lord, where the gospel is presented, let it be presented in holiness and righteousness, and as you give wisdom, Lord, to those who to where they put their finances, that will be used for thy kingdom and for thy glory. Father, I thank you for it. Now, Father, I lift up our nation. We're a sinful people. Father, in your word, you say to pray for those in authority over us. And then you say that if those who are called by your name will humble themselves and pray, that you'll hear the prayers that are made in this place and heal, hear and answer and heal the land. Father, we're a needy people. We're a sinful people. Father, I bring the needs of this people. The needs of this nation is abomination in your nostrils, Lord. I thank you for your grace and your mercy in our behalf. Father, I bring the sins of our ancestors, my forefathers, up before my own sins, and ask that you cleanse and wash us, Lord, by your blood. Cleanse us, Lord, that we can be a holy, righteous people before thee for thy name's sake. Father, I lift up our nation. I lift up our president. I lift up those in authority. I lift up the cabinet, Lord. I lift up the judicial branch. I lift up the armed forces today, O God. Lord, they need your wisdom and help and strength, Lord, in this hour that's upon us this week. Father, I lift up the Congress and the Senate. I lift up our school systems across the nation. I lift up the judges of the land, Lord. I lift up the governors and the lieutenant governors. I lift up the mayors and the sheriffs and the chiefs of police. I lift up the CIA, Lord, and the FBI. Lord, we need these branches of government. We need them, Lord. And certain branches of government, Lord, is not to be made public to the people. And I thank you, Lord, for what they do for us and their protection for us and their looking after us. I bless them, Lord. Now, Father, I speak in behalf of our president and his wife. Father, I pray your anointing upon him. I pray your wisdom upon him. I pray your guidance and direction, Lord, and that he calls on the name of the Lord. I bind the principalities and powers of Antichrist over Washington and over the White House. I bind the powers of principalities and satanic powers. I bind them and I break their dominion. And I pull them down and put them underfoot in the name of the Lord Jesus. Father, I thank you for hearing our petitions. And Father, not only in this nation, but in other nations across around the world that declare that Jesus Christ is Lord and lift up the name of the Lord Jesus. Father, may thy blessings rest upon them. May they have godly men in authority over the nations, Lord. And I thank you for your word says that you put up and you put down and you place in authority. Father, I thank you that you raise up and are raising up men full of a Holy Ghost across around the world to stand forth and declare, thus saith the Lord. And that shall come to pass. Father, I thank you and I bless you. And I thank you for your presence amongst us this night. And as we have gathered to praise and worship you. And to those who minister to us the rest of the evening. That the anointing of the Holy Ghost shall rest and move in Jesus' mighty name. Amen and amen. You may be seated. Praise the name of the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Well, it's a privilege to have Thelma and Bob Trench with us from South Africa. And we've known them in a way for a long, long time. They've known of us for many years, but it's a privilege to finally have them come and be with us to minister with us this weekend with the other ministries that are here. And I'm going to ask Bob to come and speak to us for a little while this evening and tell us how the Lord's moving, not necessarily in South Africa. It is moving there, but moving in his heart and Thelma's heart and life as the word of the Lord is being revealed in this hour that we live in, the time when we're coming on to the age of what is known as the kingdom. Some call it the millennium. Well, that's fine, but I prefer to call it the kingdom. Hallelujah. The kingdom of the Lord. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done in this earth, and then in the earth as it is in heaven. Hallelujah. Brother Bob.
Let me tell you, I've been in many nations of the world and traveled extensively in the name of the Lord Jesus. But this is actually the first meeting that I have ever been in where the kingdom is preached openly. Now, maybe I've missed the good places around the world, but every time I talk about the kingdom of God, I get accused of being crazy, a heretic, and so on, you know. And so to me, I can jump for joy here. I'm quite excited about it, you know. And I feel like the novice, you know, with all the experienced people. But how I came to it was that in Matthew 5:5 it says, the meek shall inherit the earth. What I understood the meek to mean was those that were soft and weak. And I thought, well, I'm not going to inherit very much because I'm Scottish. And I don't think I'm weak. And I'll try to make myself weak, you know. I don't know if you ever tried that. It's soul destroying. And one day I found a definition of the word meek, which just simply meant teachable. And I thought, well, that was super. You know, I try to be teachable. If the Holy Ghost doesn't really lead me, then my wife nags me, and I'll soon get it, you know. Between the two of them, I make progress, you see. But then something else happened was I found out if you're teachable, that means you're able to learn. So I began to ask myself, well, what have you learned that's new recently? And I found I hadn't learned much. Honestly. I was going to meetings after meeting after meeting, and I discovered to my horror as a management consultant, all that was happening, they were reinforcing what I already knew. So if I had error, they were just reinforcing the error. And I never got an opportunity to receive anything new. And I venture to suggest where you're going, most times people are just reinforcing what you already know. Well, if they're reinforcing what you know, you're not learning. Then you're not teachable. So I hit a problem. So I asked God to teach me. And the Holy Spirit came in the room and said to me, are you ready to change? Can you accept change? Well, you know, I very glibly said yes. And then when he wanted to change me, you'll see my heel marks all over Africa. Said, no, not like that. I didn't mean that, not that. See, when God begins to move, he begins to move in ways that blow your mind. And you'll find the people that were teaching you that you looked up to suddenly now become your enemy. And God says to you, you want them or me? I say, I would like both. One here and one there. You know, I like to be well thought of. You're Scottish, you know, the more the people like you, the more business you get. God says, well, you said that you could accept change. I said, well, not all at once. You know, our teeny weeny bits, but whole big thing. Let me explain what I mean. In Jeremiah 38, you find a prophet went to the king. I'm always intrigued when this happens. You quote the scripture. Then everybody takes their Bible to look at it. I remember the first church I went to, I got born again on the soccer field. So I didn't, to me, I've never related Jesus with denominations. I found him out in the marketplace, or he found me in where I was sinning. So the first church I went to, feeling very nervous, they were like you, raised their hands, clapped, and I was Presbyterian, and I thought, gee, thank God none of my friends here, you know, I was sitting quiet. But I was surprised at what happened. The minister got up to say, I'm going to read from John chapter 3. And everybody bent down, just like you, picked up their Bibles, and there was a rustle of pages. And here I thought, good grief, they don't even trust their minister to read it right. You're welcome to check on me. You can check on me. Jeremiah 38. He went with a very good confession to the king. He told the king what God had given him to say. You know, everybody tells you you must have a good confession. Well, I discovered you can have a good confession. It doesn't help sometimes. More than once. But anyway, this fellow, dear old prophet here, he goes to the king, told the king exactly what God told him. And the king didn't like it, so the king put him in a well. The Bible says that the prophet began to sink in the mire. I don't know what verse it is. Thelma will find it. It says the prophet began to sink in the mire. He got stuck in the mud. I want to talk about being stuck in the mud for a moment. I was ministering in, I always get the countries mixed up. I think it was Swaziland. Yeah, Swaziland. I think it was anyway. The one about Puja, Swaziland. Okay. That's why Thelma sits in the front row, because When I tell these stories, I talk about the wrong country and the wrong capital and the wrong king or president or something. Well, we felt led of the Lord to go to Swaziland, and we believed that we should be there. Well, we wrote to all the local churches, and not one felt we should come. What do you do? So, if you're a businessman, you make a plan. So what we did is we wrote to the Chamber of Commerce in the capital city, and we said we'd come and run a 3-day management seminar for them, and it would be $100 per attendee, and if members of their chamber would come, we'd give them a $50 rebate for the chamber. And that's pretty attractive. So they signed up about 100 people. Now, I'm very happy to tell you that your American consulate got born again in that seminar, and so did the British envoy. But the story I really want to share, the first evening, as we were coming to the end of the meeting, of our teaching, the police came in, the British African police, and this black officer came over to me, and he said, you can't stay in this hotel tonight, because the communist terrorists know you're here, and they'll probably have a go at getting you. So they gave me a piece of paper, and I said, now, this is where you'll sleep. We've got your rooms booked, and each night that you're here, because you're teaching the free enterprise system, we will tell you where to go at 5 o'clock in the evening, and then you'll know where to go. But it's very nice to know that they are looking after you. And then the second night, we got in this man's pew, John, and we had this piece of paper where to go. It was about 40 miles outside of the city. And we were driving in this man's car, and he was bragging about this wonderful motor car, how good it was, and it never failed him, and it had a high road clearance, and it did so many miles to the gallon, and he was bragging about his car. I don't know if you've ever bragged about your car, but it's fatal. Something about the intake valve or something, it'll hear, and something will go wrong. And as we came over the rise, and it was a sandy road, There'd been a cloudburst during the day. And in the valley, it was just a sea of mud. Now, anybody with any gray matter would have pulled up. But he'd been saying about how wonderful his car was. It could go anywhere, you know. And he drove right into the mud. And we got stuck. Now, I didn't want to stay stuck because I had my suit on. And you could see that mud was pretty deep. So I said to him, quickly, and wrist reverse. And he reversed this thing quickly while there's some track. Let's get out. Which he did. By the way, how many of you have been stuck in the mud? May I see? Okay. How did you know you were stuck in the mud? Spinning the wheel? You weren't going? What else? There's one major way you know when you're stuck in the mud. No, it's got nothing to do with that either. You see, it's because you're trained to think like that. The real reason you know you're stuck in the mud is because the scenery never changes. I stood looking at the same tree. You'll know you're stuck in the mud when the scenery doesn't change. That motor car, the engine was still going. The fellowship was super. The wheels were going. The air conditioning was working. We were still using petrol, gas. Everything was the same. Just one thing changed. The scenery was stationary. Many Christians, if they had to analyze where you stand, you're stuck. Because the scenery's not changing. You're meeting the same people week by week, month by month. You're believing the same thing. You're doing the same thing. And you've been doing it for weeks and for months and for years. That tells me maybe you're not teachable. And you've been reinforced, and so tonight, hopefully, and the rest of this camp, something will happen in the inner man. In the inner man. In the inner man. Now, if I took do you have fleas in this part of the world? Does it get hot enough for fleas? We have lots of fleas in Africa, all kinds, even zebra kinds. If you caught some fleas, and you put them into a glass jar, and you put a lid on it, and you put that glass jar next to your bed, then you could sleep, and all night you'll hear the fleas jumping to get out. They hit the head on a lid. bing, 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 bing. And you can see them doing it. But you keep that jar there for 3 or 4 nights. And then about the 4th or 5th night, you can take the lid off. And those fleas are trained. They jump so far and no further. They never get out. Never get out. And some Christians know what the Bible says. That you can do all things through Christ Jesus. And you just ask them to come hospital visiting with you. No. No, the last guy I prayed for died. Well, the first guy I ever prayed for died. He said, come and do this. No, they like those fleas. They've learned from experience. They go so far, that's comfort. You go any further, you're likely to bump your head. Every time God moves and wants to show you something, you'll always bump your head because it doesn't make sense here. God has never been interested, never, 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 in your comfort. Only in your character. I always say to God, you mean you're going to work on me again? I was intrigued with a song that was sung tonight. So that we may hear the voice of the Father. The Bible says that Jesus did nothing. Did nothing. Jesus did nothing unless he heard from the Father or he saw the Father do it. When I got that information into my spirit, I realized how important it was for me to hear from the Father. I got that information into my spirit. I realized how important it was for me to hear from the Father. Now, I had watched everybody and I had modeled my ministry along the lines of other people. Somebody had come and he was a drunkard, I'd bind the spirit of alcohol. Well, next week he was still drinking, they bring him back. So this time I'll release the spirit of alcohol. And he was still drunk. Well, I bound him or released him, it didn't help. And I got, like you said, I shouted too. I thought it helped. Said, you evil spirit of alcohol, I bind you. Next week he's still drinking. Short of giving him a hiding, with about 6 guys beating him up, which I thought of doing many times. And then tell him the Lord sent those guys to beat you up. What you supposed to do? We preach one thing and our experience often is something else. Well, I know the word's true, so the problem lies with me. God said, you see, you don't listen to me. And I came to that scripture, you know, with Peter. And Jesus talking to Peter, if you watch Jesus through the Bible, he always asks questions. And he says to Peter, who do they say I am? Who do you say I am? And he says, well, you're the Son of God. You're the Christ. Jesus gave to me, just something super. He said, blessed art thou, because you didn't get it from flesh and blood. See, you're blessed when you don't get it from flesh and blood. You are blessed when you don't get it from flesh and blood. Do you know that 90% of what I ever knew I got from man? I got it from good Pentecostals, Charismatics, Baptists, Methodists, and ne'er-do-wells. And the little bit I had from God was where the blessing was. Do you understand what I'm talking about? If you analyze yourself, how much have you got from fellow men? And how much from God? Now, God can use men to give it to you, but you must make sure it is from God. Not out of my mind, but from the heart of God to you. So I thought, well, okay. And he said, you got it from my Father. So we're super. Then he goes on, he says, and now, because you got that from the Father, I'm also going to give you something. When you can get something from the Father, you also get something from Jesus. He said to Peter, I'll now give you the keys to the kingdom. When you can get revelation knowledge from God, you'll begin to operate in the keys of the kingdom. When I saw that, I thought, well, that's good. Went down the line, and then he says to Peter, now he says, Peter, because you can get revelation, whatever you bind on earth will already have to be bound in heaven.
I looked up that original one day. My goodness, that's not the way King James puts it. And it says, whatever you loose will already have to have been loosened in heaven. Then I understood the prayer of Jesus when he said, let thy kingdom come on earth. In other words, before we bind and loose, we should make sure how God would handle that in heaven. And then translate God's laws from heavenly spiritual and put it down here. Man, that set me free. That is, you know, I don't bind so quickly anymore. Neither do I loosen. I try to listen. Woo-hoo, what, Lord, how would you handle it? How would you do this? And suddenly I found out they're more dependent upon Jesus than I've ever been. When they criticize me around the world for promoting what they call the kingdom heresy, they have actually, somebody's even gone to the trouble of writing a book about this teaching, you know, that I'm supposed to be a heretic about. But yet they can't understand that kingdom message has drawn me so closer to the King. See, when his love flows, I begin to get soft and I want to cry. And if I don't speak strong, you know, I'll begin to weep. Because right now in this meeting, there's such a wonderful presence of Jesus. See, Jesus said, if you preach the same message that I preached, if you preach the same message as I'll preach, I got this from God. I said, Lord, why is it I don't get the healings that you got? I know I'm not as good as you, but I'd like to see more. He said to me, if you preach the same message that I preached, you will get the same results that I got. The same spirit that was in me is in you. So I began to preach the same message, the kingdom, and I got nothing but trouble. Nothing but trouble. And I went to him, I said, God, I thought you said I'd get the same results as you. He said, you are, you are, you are. See, right now, in the spirit, just looking at you, the word of God just been melling in me, coming across to you. You are to be a swordsman of the Lord. And as you discipline your mind and your heart, and as you focus on Jesus Christ, and you put aside the things that keep coming into your mind, and as you just completely look to the King, you'll find physically you'll be stronger than you are now. Spiritually, you'll know what to do. And not only do I see you, but you have a small blade in the sword. It's very short. And as you begin to use what you've got, that blade shall grow. And you not only will be a swordsman of the Lord, but the enemies of God shall fall before you. Because of you, the kingdom of God shall prosper. Take care of how you think, sir. Become clean and holy. And I release you to receive revelation in the name of Jesus Christ. Be blessed this night and forevermore. Fulfill your role in the kingdom without let or hindrance. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Shidabarasandi. Kidabarasandi. Ki kidabarasandi. Would you like to come forward, sir? You. Yes, you. Kidabarasandi. Shidabarasandi. How long you known Jesus? Speak in tongues. Stand at attention. In the name of the Lord, I say to you, God has never had an uncompleted work, and you shall not be that exception. For every time God puts his hand upon a man, it's his intention to complete it, and it shall be a good work. It shall shine forth his glory and his love. And as you discover, you shall be able to lean upon him. He's well able to sustain thee. The things that are happening round about you do have no effect upon your spirit, for God is lifting you up and causing you to walk on higher place than you've ever walked here before. And you shall know things to be before they come, and you shall speak them forth, and you shall encourage the brethren. You shall be known as the encourager and the strengthener of the brethren. In Jesus' name, be blessed. Kinabarasandi, shikidabarasandi. The kingdom of God is not meat nor flesh, and neither should we treat it lightly. See, I live in Britain, and I live under a monarchy.
And when the king comes, people go ahead to prepare the way. The Queen of England will not come to the United States unless somebody's prepared the way. I believe that our king is not returning until we've made his way straight. Clean up your lives, clean up your heart. We were singing tonight, "It is beginning to rain." We changed the words in South Africa and we sing, "He is beginning to rain." R-E-I-G-N. He is beginning to rain. Where is the fellow that did the singing? Where are you? Are you at the back? Would you like to come, Bill, is it? And while you're coming, let me speak to you. Would you like to come down the center aisle? I just thought to myself, if you were in Zululand while I was sitting there, you would not be known as Bill. They change your name, you know. The Zulus, the word Zulu means heavenly. They're heavenly people. And they believe they have the right to look at a man and give him a name that fits him. Now, we're sitting there, and I thought your Zulu name would be very apt if I was to refer to you as Imfundisi. The word Imfundisi means the one who points the way. The one who points the way. And that was flooding through my soul. The one who points the way. And that's you, sir. Would you like to bring your squash box? I would like us to sing, and you don't mind me doing that, do you, Glenn? Instead of singing, "It is beginning to rain," I know it is, let's sing, "He, Jesus." Now, if you come here and you have things in your mind and heart that are not right, you can get set free yourself. Just say, "Yes, you're beginning to rain in me. Have your way. Speak to me. Talk to me. I'll open my ears. Help my deaf ears to really understand that the works of God may be done in me and through me." I want to thank you. You can tell I'm excited. I'm enjoying being with kingdom people. First time I could kiss some of you. Some of you I won't. Some of you I won't, but others I will. Okay? God bless you. Let's go.
It's beginning to rain. Hear the voice of the Father. Saying, "Whosoever will come drink of this water, he has promised to pour out his very life on his sons and his daughters. If you're thirsty and dry, lift your hands to the sky. It's beginning to rain. It's beginning.
Even in this place, there are some that are not right with God, and the word of God comes to you tonight and says you are stuck in tradition, you're stuck in past experience, you have resisted going forward. The word of God may be saying to you, you need to confess that before him. You need to allow the Spirit of God to do his work within you, and you need to respond to the love that flows from Calvary's tree down to you tonight. You may stand where you are and resist. The word of God comes to you nevertheless, and I believe the Spirit of God brings conviction. Tonight is your night. You know that lovely little chorus, "Yes, Jesus loves me. The Bible tells me so." Let's sing that quietly.
Yes, Jesus loves me.
Without music, but as we sing it, if you know the Spirit of the Lord is saying to you, you haven't changed much, and the scenery around you hasn't changed, and you know that you would like it to happen, as we sing this and remind you that Jesus loves you, would you respond to that love and just raise your hand toward heaven and say, God, change the scenery. Change my heart. Make me open to the revelation of God. Let's just sing it quietly without the music.
Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me.
Give us revelation knowledge, Lord.
Yes, Jesus loves me. The Bible tells me so.
Just the lady singing and the men humming the melody. Person's hand next to you. Say, be blessed. Look them in the eye. And look them in the eye and say, be blessed in Jesus' name.
Be blessed.
Be blessed. Infant.
If we stay in the image of our Father, if we walk in the footprints of His Son, if we speak in the power of His Spirit, then His work here on earth shall be done. Here on earth shall be done.
Hallelujah, Lord, we praise Thee, Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise the name of the Lord. Praise the name of the Lord. We bless Thee, Lord. Thank you.
Surely the hand of the Lord is upon thee.
Know that in this hour I do raise up a people that's called by my name, saith the Lord. A people that shall be holy and clean, saith God. For surely I will search Jerusalem with candles, saith the Lord. And I, the Lord God, will search thy heart even in this time. So yea, fall before me, prostrate thyself in this hour, and give thyself to me in prayer and fasting as you've heard this night. For I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God. Yea, I, the Lord thy God, am with thee, and I will woo thee and bring thee to myself. For you belong to me and not to another, saith the Lord. So cast aside thy idols and those things would hold thee down to this earth. But yea, come away with me in the spirit realm, saith the Lord, and I will bring thee up higher, and I'll reveal myself unto thee, and I'll show you things to come that you know not of, saith the Lord. But I, the Lord thy God, require many things of thee in this hour, and you can no longer go back to the past. You can no longer live as you have lived, saith the Lord, for this is a new hour. The Lord, and I, the Lord, shall be glorified, I shall be magnified in the midst of my people, for I walk in the midst of my people. Yea, I am a jealous God, saith the Lord thy God.
Praise the Lord. Let's give the Lord a good hand. Amen. Hallelujah. 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 Yes. Come before me in weeping. Come before me in brokenness, saith the Lord, and I'll raise thee up, for as you go down, yea, I shall lift thee up, saith the Lord. If thou shalt humble thyself, I shall give grace unto thee, for I am thy God, I am thy God, saith the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. 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 We bless you, Lord. We worship you, Lord. We magnify thy name, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Brother Glenn, the Lord says, be encouraged and be strengthened this night. For the hand of the Lord is upon thee to give you new strength and vigor and vitality. For yea, I've seen the work and I've seen the toil and I've seen the labor, saith the Lord. But I, the Lord God, will give you new strength. And I, the Lord God, will give other hands to you to help strengthen your hands, saith the Lord. Because I've seen you carry the burden, and I've seen the load upon thee, saith the Lord. But I'm going to give you those in this hour that will pray for thee, and will intercede for thee, and help hold up your hands. Even as Moses' hands had to be held up, I'm going to hold up your hands, and you're going to see a great change, saith the Lord. Hallelujah. Come on, let's praise the Lord. Amen. Let's praise our God. Let's praise our God. Hallelujah. 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 Sister, would you come up here? Praise the Lord. Just, I don't know. Is this mic working all right? Praise the Lord. Forget that which is behind thee, saith the Lord. The bridges have been burned, they've been consumed. Yea, forget that which is behind and press towards the mark of the high calling in Christ Jesus. For yea, the Lord is bringing thee into a new day, a new time. Yea, a new mind, a new thinking. Yea, new revelation. Shall worship thy God and know that he's with thee. He's with thee, saith the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Come on, let's praise the Lord. Amen. Let's praise our God. Let's praise our God. Hallelujah. We worship you, Lord. We worship you, my God. Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. I like the sister here in the orange. Would you come out, ma'am? Yes, ma'am. Praise the Lord. I want to minister to a few as the Lord would direct us. Amen. Reach your hands out to her. Will you do that? Amen. I've called thee to be an intercessor, saith the Lord. I've ordained thee and called thee by my Spirit. So obey the call, yea, obey the Spirit of the Lord. And thy obedience shall bring blessing to many. Yea, it shall spare many as you would get in your closet, as I will direct thee. And as I will commission, command thee, saith the Lord. And truly thou shalt seek the Lord. And thou shalt cry out mightily unto him, not only for the lost, but even for your brethren in the Lord. For I, the Lord, have called thee. I have told thee to be that intercessor. Yea, I've put that ability within thee. And I've called you to have my burden, not man's burden, but my burden, and yea, others shall be helped because of your obedience, saith the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Touch her, Lord. Minister to her, Lord. Hallelujah. 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 Nina, the Lord says, wait on the Lord. Be still and wait upon the Lord. For the hand of the Lord is upon thee. The Lord will speak some things to thee, some new things unto your heart. But the Lord says, wait upon him. Man's counsel would take thee this way. Man's counsel would take thee that way. But my counsel will direct thee what you're to do. So wait before me, saith the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Handabakotarabahandabakai. Come on, let's praise our God. Let's praise our God. Let's praise our God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. I want my little sister here in the purple, I think, dress. Yes, ma'am. The glasses. Yes, would you come up and let me minister to you? Praise the Lord. Let's keep our hearts on the Lord now. Keep our minds on the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Amen. The Lord smites the darkness. The Lord smites the timidity. And the Lord sends the light. And the light is Jesus. And the light shall set thee free. And the light shall cause you to walk in the light as he's in the light. And thou shalt have truly fellowship with him and with your brother. For surely the Lord God will shed light upon thy pathway in this hour. And yea, the Lord God will erase the darkness. And he will cause you to have joy and peace. And you shall walk in his righteousness, saith the Lord. Hallelujah. 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 Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise God. Let's just all worship the Lord just a second. Oh, Lord, touch your people tonight, Lord, we pray. Minister to them tonight, Lord. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. How many tonight need healing in your body? I want you to just raise your hands where you are. Keep your hands up. Those that need healing in your body. Okay, somebody right around close to you, reach out and touch these people tonight. Father, we hold up these people tonight. We ask the mighty presence of God to reach out to these people. Lord, we ask you to touch their physical being tonight. In the name of Jesus, from their head to their foot, Lord, we ask the power of the Holy Spirit to touch our brethren, to touch their minds, their bodies, Lord. Oh, God, heal and deliver them, we pray, dear Lord. We ask it and believe it, Lord, for your healing virtue, your miracle power to flow into these people tonight, Lord. In the name of Jesus, you said we'd lay hands upon the sick and they would recover, Lord. We thank you for your healing power, your delivering power, your miracle power. Thank you, Lord. We bless you, Jesus. We love you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Everybody say amen.
Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Let's give them a good hand. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Amen. Praise the Lord. You can be seated. Let me share just a couple of scriptures with you here real quick before we close. Turn to Isaiah 45. I really appreciate what I've heard tonight so far. Hallelujah. It's been good. Praise the Lord. Isaiah 45. One scripture. And look at verse 11. Isaiah 45, 11. Thus saith the Lord. So the Lord's speaking. The Holy One of Israel. And his maker, ask me of things to come concerning my sons. The things to come you cannot separate from sonship. Amen. And the second concern, and concerning the work of my hands, command ye me. Well, we know that these sons are his work. And he is raising up sons. Today, there is no full-grown sons on the earth. There is no manifested sons on the earth. But there are those that are growing up to be sons. Can you say amen?
Yes.
Hallelujah. Now, he said here, ask me of things to come concerning my sons. Let's go to Galatians. And that word sons means a valiant one. It means a soldier. And it means an anointed one. How many believe that God is raising up an anointed one? A corporate son. Do you believe that? How many know the name of Joseph means an addition or to continue a thing? And when Joseph was born, it was a sign that there would be another child. Isn't that right? And his name was Benjamin, the son of the right hand. And every time we hear the name of Jesus, it's a sign to us that there's going to be another son, a corporate son, coming into his image, into his likeness. Amen. And many say, well, I want to see Jesus. Well, I do too. But we'll not see Jesus until Jesus raises up this corporate son. Joseph said to his half-brethren, you cannot see my face again until Benjamin, unless Benjamin be with you. And there is a people going to see Jesus, but not until Jesus, I'm talking about his coming, until there is a people raised up in his likeness. Amen? In Galatians 1, verse 15, notice there's a separation here, and we were all, of course, separated from our mother's womb, but there's another separation, and I don't mean that in a wrong way, from the church. How many know the man-child's coming out of the woman? And yet we know the man-child's in the woman now. Isn't that right? But when it pleased God, notice that it pleased God. There are some things that please God, some things that doesn't please God. Who separated me from my mother's womb. And number two, called me how? By his grace. So there was a separation from his natural mother. And there was a calling by his grace. Praise the Lord. Verse 16, what for? What's the purpose? To reveal, revelation, his son in me. His son in you. Amen. God has a purpose tonight for your separation and your calling, that the son might be revealed in you and I. It's Christ in us. Come on, help me now. The hope of glory. Amen. That I might preach him. Not about myself or my family, but about him. That I might preach him, hallelujah, among the Gentiles, the heathen, the nations. That's the commission. Immediately I conferred not with flesh and blood, because if you do, they'll talk you out of it. Amen? They will lie to you. Amen? Yes. Hallelujah. Neither went up to Jerusalem to them which were apostles before me, but I went into the desert. How many know that sonship and kingdom teaching will lead you into the desert at times? Isn't that right? And it's not to destroy you or defeat you, but he said, I went into Arabia and returned again unto Damascus. Then after 3 years, I went up to Jerusalem and so forth. Now look down in verse 22. And was unknown. How many believe God's raising up some unknowns? Now, Paul was known in many places, but here he said he was unknown by face to the churches in Judea that were in Christ. And I believe that God is raising up new faces, people who are not known and don't want to be known. We've had enough of that. Amen. I remember a lady we used to preach in Fayetteville. She said, I pray that the Lord will send us ministers who are not known. Because they come and bring the word. They preach truth. Hallelujah. And so God is raising up unknowns, praise the Lord, in the church. Amen. Now, in verse 23, notice what it says. But they heard only that he which persecuted us in times past now is preaching the faith. That's the faith of Jesus. And what else? Verse 24, they glorified God in me. This message, this teaching, this revelation that was given to Paul brought glory to God through Paul. I mean, oh, God must be glorified. And let me close in verse 11 and 12. But I certify you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached of me is not after man. We've heard a man-centered gospel too long. Hallelujah. But this gospel that Paul preached was from heaven, from the Spirit, and it exalted Christ. Amen. Next verse. For neither received it of man, neither was it taught it, but by the revelation of Jesus Christ. Well, we may work on that this week. God bless you. Praise the Lord.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBC www.freeaudioonline.com. There are many hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.